To the book of Romans, please. The Lord is certainly our strength, our rock. The book of Romans, chapter 4, please, verse number 5. Romans chapter 4, verse number 5, the Bible reads, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would teach us from your holy word, the Bible. Spirit of God, I pray that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, we pray. Amen. Within this chapter, the Apostle Paul confirms that salvation is by faith alone. And the emphasis of chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, is that salvation is not by works, but by faith alone. The little phrase there in chapter 5, "but to him that worketh not." In other words, there is nothing that we can do in our own strength to get to heaven. The Bible teaches us that we cannot work our way to heaven, let alone earn it by some means. The ending emphasis in chapter 3 of the book of Romans teaches us that sin's only remedy is faith in Jesus Christ. And as we move into chapter 4, the Apostle Paul builds on this fact. Sin's only remedy is faith in Jesus Christ. He builds upon this as we move into chapter 4 of the book of Romans by dealing with the common belief that we can earn our way to heaven. Most religions do not deny the fact that faith is involved in a person achieving salvation. They would all say, yes, of course, faith is involved. But what makes Christianity, Bible Christianity, stand on its own compared to all of the religions of the world is that Bible Christianity teaches faith alone. The religions of the world teach faith plus. Then take your pick, depending on which religion you choose to follow. Let's see how God combats or deals with those that are trying to earn their way to heaven. Now, the specific context of Romans chapter 2, 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Jewish mindset, that religious individual that has their faith in what they are, what they know, and what they do as the medium by which they can possibly be justified. Now here in chapter 4, he specifically deals with those ones that are trying to earn their way to heaven. And he begins by giving us the example of Abraham. See, the Bible teaches us in verse 4 and 5 of the book of Romans, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." that is working for salvation. But to him that worketh not, note the wording, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. To him that worketh not, salvation is not obtained by works. The Bible teaches by faith alone is salvation applied to the human heart. Now the Apostle Paul argues or debates this fact by giving us first and foremost an example from the life of the greatest patriarch known to the people of God, Abraham, the forefather of the people of God. And the Apostle Paul exemplifies from the life of Abraham, or gives the example of Abraham as one that was justified by faith. So in verse number 1 of chapter 4, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Verse 1 begins by the Apostle Paul simply saying, let's look at Abraham, the father of our people, and let's see how he was justified. And then it goes on to read in verse number 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not of God. So the Apostle Paul, in addressing the issue that salvation is not of works, it's only by faith, he uses Abraham as an example. And he said to the people of God, let's look at the example of Abraham. Because if there was one that could possibly be justified by works, then certainly it would be Abraham. There was nobody honored more so than Abraham for the people of God. He is their hero, their patriarch, so to speak. And then the Apostle Paul talks hypothetically, and he goes on to say in verse number 2 that if it were possible for Abraham to be justified by faith, then he would just simply receive the praise of men but not the praise of God. If it were possible, he's talking hypothetically. So in other words, he's simply saying if there was one that had any capacity to be justified by faith, surely it'd be Abraham. But if he were justified by faith, if he believed he could be justified by faith, then he would only warrant the praise of men, but certainly not the praise of God. And then in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul writes, for what saith the Scriptures? What does the Bible teach? I don't know about you, my friend. I'm interested in knowing what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? How does a person find justification and the certainty of a home in heaven? What does the Bible teach? And then in verse number 3, it goes on to read, Abraham believed God. That's what the Bible teaches. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what does the Bible teach, said the Apostle Paul? How is a person justified before God? Well, the Bible gives us the example of Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. And the Apostle Paul quotes straight out of Genesis chapter 15. Let's turn there for a moment. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. So the Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 4 quotes from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he's answering the question, what does the Bible say? How was Abraham justified? Verse 6 reads of Genesis 15, and he believed in the Lord. He placed his faith in the coming Messiah. And he counted it, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. So the Apostle Paul quotes straight out of Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and answers the question, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach concerning how Abraham was justified? And he confirms before his audience that Abraham, the great patriarch, the father of the nation of Israel, was justified by faith. And then he goes on to write in Romans chapter 4, verse number 4, now to him that worketh, or for that person that is seeking to work his way to heaven, his reward is not grace, but of debt. Works or man's self-efforts only lead to further spiritual debt. Man's works have no bearing on our salvation. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, that's not what I believe. Well, look, to be honest with you, I don't care what you believe. I'm concerned about what the Bible teaches. What saith the Scriptures? But Pastor, now hang on, but what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches us a person that is trying to earn their way to heaven is accumulating greater spiritual debt. Let me ask you, if you knew that you were going backwards financially, wouldn't you do something about it? Otherwise, you'll find that you'll get yourself further into debt. Am I right or not? So if you realize, if you come to a point where you realize, oh, I'm in debt. I'm going backwards financially. Wisdom would say, I better do something about it. But unfortunately today, many people that are in debt, they continue to accumulate debt. And this is what people are like as well in a spiritual sense. Because they are not seeking God's salvation, God's deliverance from the debt of sin, God's way, they are moving further and further and further and further away from being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's going to get harder and harder and harder to come back to a point where a person realizes they are a sinner, they need salvation, they are in debt to God, and Jesus Christ is the only way. They will get themselves further into debt by their works, and they'll get to a point of no return. And that's where many people are at, religiously speaking. That's what verse 4 is teaching. But to him that worketh not. So the Apostle Paul gives us a summary in verse number 5. He uses the example of Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith alone. And in summary, verse 5, but to him that worketh not. You cannot earn your way to heaven, my friend. It is not a matter of faith and works. It's by faith alone. Whether you're in the Old Testament economy, they look forward to the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. We look back at the Messiah that has already come. It is still by faith. What about Abraham, said the Apostle Paul to the nation of Israel? Abraham, your mentor, your hero. What happened to him? He was justified by faith. So therefore, the Apostle Paul concludes, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See? So Paul is simply saying, Abraham was justified by faith and not by works. My friend, you cannot get to heaven based upon what you are and what you know and what you do. It is by faith alone. This is Bible teaching. But Pastor, I'm going to do it my way, but my friend, let me warn you, you will get yourself further into spiritual debt, and you'll get to a point of no return if you continue to rely upon your works. You'll get further and further away from truth. And that's where many people are at today. The example of Abraham is given. He was justified by faith. And then we move on to verses 6 to 8. Are you still with me this morning? This is good Bible doctrine. See? Now verses 6 to 8, from verses 1 to 5, the fact that we are saved by faith without works, it's exemplified in the life of Abraham. Now verses 6 to 8, it is explained by David. So first of all, the Apostle Paul uses the example of Abraham. Now the Apostle Paul turns to the writings of King David. Note there verses 6 to 8, please. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So verses 1 to 5, the Apostle Paul uses the example of Abraham, how he placed his faith in his Saviour alone. And now the Apostle Paul turns to the writings of the greatest king known to the nation of Israel, King David. David was no ordinary king. Just like Abraham was the man. In the realm of kingship, there was no king amongst God's people that was revered more than David. And the Apostle Paul knew that. His roots were Jewish. He knew that. So in his heart of hearts, he simply said, I'm going to get you guys. Watch this. What about David? What about King David? What did he have to say? Well, let's turn for a moment to Psalm 32, please. Now, if you smile and say amen every now and again, we'll get out sooner than later. Amen. Okay, let's go to Psalm 32, please. Psalm 32, verses 6 to 8 of Romans chapter 4 are in reference to Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2 specifically. Blessed is whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. So the Apostle Paul quotes directly out of Psalm 32 and uses the writings of David to affirm the fact that a person is saved, is justified, not of works. If a person is not justified by works, then how are they justified? The only alternative is faith. The only alternative to works is faith. And that is the emphasis upon Psalm 32, that a person is justified not of works, so therefore a person is justified by faith. That was evident in the life of Abraham, and that was taught in the writings of King David. King David explains for us that a person is not only forgiven, but he is justified by faith. Note there the word imputeth there in verse number 6 of Romans chapter 4. You might like to underline that word. That is a very, very important word. That's a word that teaches us that beyond forgiveness we have justification. It simply means to be justified. In other words, just as if I had never sinned. By faith we are justified. Beyond forgiveness there is justification. King David taught that in Psalm 32, and the Apostle Paul, referring to David's writings in Romans chapter 4, teaches the same, that we are imputed. We have imputed righteousness without works. Now please note that the word translated imputed means to be justified. It means to be declared righteous. To be declared without sin. It's as if we had never sinned. Are you listening to me? This is how God sees the child of God through the eyes of Jesus Christ. For those of us that have received Jesus Christ by faith as our Savior, as God the Father looks down upon the child of God through the lens of God the Son, it's as if we had never sinned. That's justification. That's imputed righteousness. Now the word translated imputed here is a very important word, and you'll find this word some 13 times in this chapter. Did you hear that? 13 times. Now it's translated imputed, counted, reckoned, will, weigh. 13 times in Romans chapter 4, this word that means justified is taught that a person is justified by faith without works. By faith, God places righteousness into our spiritual bank account. Direct deposit, mind you. In the name of God the Son, with His own precious blood. See, our account was in debt. We were getting further and further behind. But God the Father sent God the Son to an old rugged cross, and upon that old rugged cross, He shed His blood for you and for me. And when a person repents of their sin and by faith receives Christ the Savior, God takes care of a transaction by the life of the child of God. And He directly deposits justification by faith alone. The example of Abraham teaches us that we're not saved by works, but by faith. The writings of David teach us that we're not justified by works, but by faith. Let's move on. Note verses 9 to 12, please, of Romans chapter 4. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, but upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned or imputed? When he was in circumcision? or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Note verse 12. Now the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Now, did you get all that? It's a mouthful, isn't it? But this is what it basically means. Listen carefully. The Apostle Paul teaches us that a person is justified by faith without works. He refers to the example of Abraham. He refers to the writings of King David. Now in verses 9 to 12, the Bible teaches us that a person is not saved by works, but by faith alone. And this means at the exclusion, listen to me, at the exclusion of religious rites. And the Apostle Paul once again refers to Abraham. I love his sense of humour. He's just digging it in. And he's simply saying to the people, well, what about Abraham? How was he justified? Thank you very much. By faith, not by works. And now he goes back to Abraham with a little grin on his face, and he went on to say to the people of God, now what about Abraham? When was he justified? Well, he was justified 14 years before he was circumcised. Yeah. So in Genesis chapter 15, he believed he was justified by faith. Then in Genesis chapter 17, 14 years later, God brings into existence the rite of circumcision for the nation of Israel. Not in the male, of course. And God said to his people, look at Abraham. He was justified by faith and he wasn't even circumcised. You guys believe that circumcision has a part in your justification. Abraham believed being uncircumcised and he was considered justified. 14 years later, he's circumcised. God initiates the rite of circumcision. See, God's people believed that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And you'll read within the book of Acts, there is a bit of debate concerning those Jewish believers that were trying to convince those non-Jewish believers, you better get circumcised, you better get circumcised to make sure that you're saved. And the Apostle Paul emphasized the fact in the book of Galatians, no, it is by faith alone. He extinguishes religious rites. So the Apostle Paul is simply saying Abraham was justified by faith and he was an uncircumcised individual when he was justified. So let me point the fact once again before you, Israel. It is by faith alone. See, the Apostle Paul argues that Abraham received this spiritual circumcision of the heart well before he was physically circumcised. And then he goes on to say in verse number 12, so likewise, whether you've been physically circumcised or not, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're religious or non-religious, my friend, a person is justified by faith alone. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! No matter whether you're a Jew or not, you can receive the same justification before God by faith alone. You don't need to rest upon some religious rite. Now, the equivalent of circumcision for the nation of Israel would probably be baptism for many religions today. Would it not? The ordinance of baptism. There are a number of religions today. The churches of Christ teach that baptism is a part of one's salvation. Many of the cults believe and teach that baptism is a part of your salvation. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that baptism is a part of salvation. There was a booklet that came out in the year that the Roman Catholic Church had their big Youth Day here in Australia. And I got a copy of that book, and in that book, the present Pope clearly spells out that a person is born again by water baptism. Quoting the current Pope, that's a lie. The Pope lied to Australia. In that publication. Oh, the pastor, you're calling the Pope a liar. Yes, I am. That's contrary to the Bible. That's no different than God's people believing that physical circumcision was a part of salvation. See, it's either a faith or it's not. So the Apostle Paul extinguishes any religious rite that you might be resting upon as your medium for justification. It's by faith alone. And last but not least this morning, verses 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul also extinguishes the fact that many people are resting upon obedience to religious rules as a means of justification. Look at verses 13 to 15, please. Let's read together after 2. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Think about the words as we read together, please. After 2. 1 and 2. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Thank you. So the Apostle Paul deals with the issue of those people resting in some religious rite, whether it be baptism, whether it be confirmation, whether it be whatever, praying 5 times a day to Allah, whatever it might be, giving alms to the poor, whatever that ordinance is, and pending on your religion will determine the difference that prevails amongst all of these different mediums of how a person can be justified before God. And God tells us in the Bible, no. It's by faith alone. Now in verses 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul extinguishes the idea of the possibility that a person can obey the law and be justified. And in verse number 13, the Apostle Paul is simply saying, we can't be justified by obedience to the Jewish law. And many of God's people sincerely believe
that circumcision was a part of one's justification. I ask the question, what about the women? Anyway, we won't go there. Does it make sense, does it? Talk to me. Does it make sense? Of course it doesn't make sense. Because it's not true. We're justified by faith. Alone. Male, female, young, old, by faith and by faith alone. That's what the Bible teaches. It's achievable for all mankind. And then the Apostle Paul went on to say, listen, you cannot be justified by circumcision, and you can't be justified by keeping the law. Now the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Pentateuch or the Torah, for God's people, has no less than 613 commandments. Did you hear that? 613 commandments. So God's people believe sincerely that I've got to obey the law in order to be justified. 613. I've got to obey all of those laws if I'm to have any hope of being justified. And the Apostle Paul is simply saying, listen, you've got it all wrong. The law wasn't made to as a means of justification. The law is there to reveal to us that we have fallen short of God's standard of perfection. See, note there in verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, the Bible teaches us that the law is our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. To reveal to us that we are sinners and we need a Saviour. God's people sincerely believe if they will obey the written law, all 613 commandments, then they can possibly be justified. But what guarantee did they have? None. That's next to impossible. Of course it is, said the Apostle Paul. The law leads to wrath. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The giving of the law, by the way, this is at no extra charge, the giving of the law began in Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. Am I right or not? Yeah. In the days of Moses. Huh. Yeah. Now, Moses lived no less than 400 years after Abraham. Huh. Okay. So what about those people before Moses? They had no law to obey. You get my point? It doesn't make sense, does it? And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say, that look, it doesn't make sense. How can physical circumcision do anything for you? How can keeping the law do anything for you? You cannot achieve salvation by your own works. It's by faith, and it's by faith alone. Let's close with verse 16 before I begin preaching. Look at verse 16. Okay. Look at verse 16. Therefore, just in case you missed the point, the Apostle Paul saying, therefore, let's conclude. Now wake up now. Therefore, let's conclude this whole issue. Therefore, it is of, let's say it together, faith. Now is that clear? Now how much clearer can you be? Therefore, it is of faith. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm saved by the grace of God, by faith alone. I don't need to become a proselyte to Judaism
by getting circumcised. I don't need to try and obey 613 commandments. I can be justified by faith. That is what the Bible teaches.
Therefore, it is the faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law. This salvation by faith is not just for the Jewish people, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. When a person places their faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they become a spiritual child of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham was justified by faith, and for those of us that have repented of our sin and will receive Christ as Saviour, we likewise have been born into the same family as Abraham. We are part of the family of God. We are spiritual children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, that's wonderful, isn't it? This is good Bible.
I'm getting so excited and studying through this book of Romans. We might be here for a while. Amen. I can't remember the last time I enjoyed studying the Bible. I mean, I do enjoy it, don't get me wrong. But man, this is wonderful. I enjoy it a whole lot more because I'm justified by faith. I have a home in heaven by faith. Set and secure. Without the deeds of the law. Without obeying some ordinance made by man. By faith alone.
Not of works. So in conclusion, my friend this morning, please stop trying to earn your seat into heaven. Stop trying to work your way to heaven, because you cannot. You can't do it. You'll get further and further into spiritual debt. Please come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Saviour. This is God's way. It's available to all. It's available for all. And for those of us that are Christians this morning, would you agree with me that God's way is the best way? Would you agree with me that God's way is the best way? Well, why don't we live that way? Why don't we just stop trying to live out our lives in our own strength, in our own way, and let's get back to the Bible and ask the question, what says the Scriptures? We were saved by faith in God's way. May God help us as His people to live that way as well. Amen. Saved by faith, we're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And all God's people said. Amen. Let's be upstanding, please.